The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, we were gone for 2 weeks. It's just amazing. It is so good to be back, and a special shout-out to everybody. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Sonoma County morning. I have three special guests for this show. In the studio with me is going to be Crystal Rangel, CEO and founder of Crystal Diamante Entertainment, and activist Evelina Molina. We'll be talking about the 6th annual Oaxaca in the Wine Country, which is a cultural festival that celebrates the diversity of a Mexican tradition here in Sonoma County, California. I want to remind people the event will take place on Sunday, July 9th from 11 to 5 p.m. in our newly remodeled Courthouse Square in downtown Santa Rosa. Also joining me is activist Nikki Pyle, who will be giving us an overview of the Community Action Coalition here in Sonoma County. Well, folks, what a weekend. On Saturday, I attended the wedding of my grandson, Ryan Jensen, and Amber Lemmer. What a beautiful event. The wedding took place on my daughter, Susan, and son-in-law, Dave's property in Laytonville. And it was beyond beautiful. And along with the wedding guests, we were able to spend the night and enjoy nature in its finest. A shout-out to all those who attended and to help make the event as special as it was. Special acknowledgement. I have to acknowledge my dear sister, Evelyn Holtz, who worked with Susan the week before the wedding. So inspiring when you see young people, so young and so full of positive energy with their eyes on the future. You know, it gives me hope, folks. It really gives me hope. Well, on a real sad note, I mean, this is so hard for me to believe. On Thursday, I attended a memorial for a young woman, Ellie Jung, who was part of the cannabis movement here in Sonoma County. I was shocked to hear of her passing. I interviewed her last April about the Elevated Cannabis Compliance Conference, which she helped design and facilitate. She led the cannabis industry operators and enlightened cultivators on all areas of California compliance regulations. You know, first she worked with Mercy Wellness in Cotati and then on to continue her mission at SC Laboratories in Sonoma County. And she went on to be one of the most influential women in our cannabis community. Her dedicated work and advocacy will continue to be heard for quite some time. My condolences to her and to the family. I mean, our community has lost a beautiful, not only a beautiful spirit, but a beautiful woman, both inside and out. You know, it just gives you another feeling. You know, life is one day at a time. And, you know, it's so important that we appreciate that we're here, that we're alive, and that we have the ability to maybe do something. Well, on another thing that happened, I mean, I just felt so horrible about Ellie Jung. And then when I came home after the wedding, I could not believe this. I went onto Facebook, and, you know, a while back, there was a young man by the name of Philando Castile, who was shot by police at a traffic stop. And, I mean, we saw video after video after video, and I just don't understand it. The policeman that shot this, that shot Castile was exonerated. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, but it happened. You know, we have trials, we have juries, you know, and they come up with whatever conclusion happens. But the horrific thing about this shooting is that they put a second video on, and the second video was of the 4-year-old child of the mother who was in the car. And the thing that really struck me when I watched the video, not just the horror, because what the frightened little girl said to her mother, she was so worried about her mother that she said to her, "Mom, please stop cursing and screaming. I don't want you to get shooted." I mean, I don't want you to get shooted. That's out of a four-year-old's mouth. And what I really became aware of was what is happening to our young children in this world. I mean, what kind of world are we offering them? What is their future look like? What about the anger it's creating in them, the anger and the madness when they see things like this happen? I think every mother, every woman should be out in the street saying, "Wait a minute. We have to stop this violence. We have to find another way." There is no justification for something like this happening, for a little four-year-old girl in the back street of a car watching something like that happening and worried about her mother. So we have to think about those things. And if we don't think about them and we allow them to continue and we don't protest, what does our future look like? And, you know, the Dalai Lama said it so beautifully. He said, "It's the women who are going to lead the fold when it comes to ending violence and ending wars." And I think it's very important that we start thinking about that and we start encouraging each other to stand up and speak out. You know, I'm going to be doing a second interview with a woman by the name of Nikki Pyle. They're with a really interesting organization here in Sonoma County who are trying to speak out. And we have to support that. Well, in order to do that, which, you know, this is the last Monday of June. I can't believe it. Where did June go? It just flew by. You know, I looked at it was June 1st, and now it's June 26th. I mean, come on, guys. Life is going by very, very quickly. But since it's the last Monday of the month, we do the Women's Spaces Pledge. Oh, my second guest just go. Hello, Crystal. Welcome. I'm really excited when I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, there's 5 of us in the studio. Yay, when we do the pledge today. You know, it's a simple pledge. It's a real simple statement we're making. But I am a firm believer that before women can speak out, they have to learn how to stand up. They have to learn self-confidence. They have to recognize that they have a right to have a voice. They have a right to say something. You know, I used to be friends with a woman by the name of Terry Cole Whitaker, and she wrote a book called What You Think of Me Is None of My Business. Well, I know there's a lot of people that have a lot of different thoughts about me out there, but, you know, none of my business. Let them think what they want. It doesn't matter what people think of you. It matters what you think of yourself. And that you're willing to stand up and be counted and be accountable. I think that's what we're all asking for. We're asking for accountability. And I don't understand why. I don't know why that's such a difficult task to be accountable. You know, it means you have to fess up to what you're doing and make sure that you're doing the right thing. I mean, what's wrong with that? Anyway, very interesting. Lot to think about. But, you know, that's what Women's Spaces is all about. And as you can see, I've been gone for a few weeks, so I'm a little bit jazzed up. Anyway, so we're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge, and I invite my guest here to join me. And really, let's, when we say it or we hear it, let's take it in and recognize that what you're saying is, when you say it, you're saying that I am not afraid to stand up and be heard. I am not afraid to stand up for the children. I'm not afraid to stand up for peace. I'm not afraid to stand up for what I believe in. Okay, so I'm going to say the pledge first, and if you guys would just repeat after me, I'll say one line, you repeat it, and we'll go through the whole thing. Okay, here we go, the Women's Spaces Pledge. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Doesn't that sound nice? Just think about what we're saying. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. That means it doesn't depend on what people think of you, what they're saying about you. It depends on your relationship with yourself and your higher power. And you know, it's real interesting for my Christian friends out there. one of the most beautiful things, I think, that Jesus, who is supposedly the one who gives us the message of hope and love, said, love your neighbor as yourself. Very simple. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And that higher power is anything you want, however your belief is. You know, if you're Jewish, if you're Muslim, if you're Christian, you know, on and on. You know, whatever you believe is your higher power. You know, some people believe in the sun that you get your inner strength from. That's what we're talking about. So it's very important, and I really recommend say this at least twice a day. And people say, well, Elaine, do you say it? I say it 10 times as I'm coming to the studio. You know, I have a voice on the air. You know, every once in a while I slur on a word, or the way I announce my guest name, you know, I'll make a mistake here and there, or some all of a sudden somebody writes me, oh, I totally disagree with you, and just really lets me know how they feel. And I just say my self-esteem doesn't depend on them, but I can still listen. I can still learn. I can still grow, but I don't have to be devastated, and it's not going to shut me up. So that's my lecture on self-esteem for this Monday morning, the last Monday in June. And I'm going to say it one more time, so just bring it in. Just listen to it. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And for those of you who want a copy of it, it's on the website, www.womenspaces.com. You're more than welcome to just, you know, make a copy of it. If you would like me to send you a card or anything and send you something in the email, just send me an email and make a request, and I'm happy to send it to you. Just send it to elaine@womenspaces.com, and I'm happy to get you a copy. Well, that's a lot to think about, and I only have one announcement to make, and that's about the event that's happening on July 9th, and that's going to be the sixth annual, I believe, Oaxacan celebration that we're going to talk about when we come back, and we're going to take a musical break, and I will be playing now. For my Spanish-speaking friends and for my Oaxacan friends out there, please forgive my pronunciation, because this is in Oaxacan, and we have tried, Melina and I have tried to get the definition, but somehow we couldn't do it. So trust me, the first word is Badu Exapazu. That's the name of the song. I hope I've done my Oaxacan as good as I could. And it's sung by Martha Toledo. And let me tell you, Martha Toledo is one of the most beautiful, talented women that I have met in a long time. And she's going to be one of the performers in the Wine Country on July 9th. So give you all a feel for what the Oaxacan music is all about and the wonderful voice that she has. So here we are we're going to listen to Martha Toledo. And when we come back, we'll be talking with activist Evelyn Molina and Crystal Rangel, and we'll be talking about the Oaxaca in the Wine Country Festival.
Sicaru, nigu di sheru shiteru yo, nangana jeli padu japaso, jigu nustobi ninzana paso, amawai abetnyo, panina lunena, chupayu zena shinizudie. Epesia chanigo patubinu ranya nubichoshe nukinya nukie nubizane shambie nukagitu neze tirakala jukena lunena shindigune palinya nushinga nanake nibeza lunyate zaka Shindigune palinya no shinga nanake ni pesa luña. γιατί ζακά. Song sikaru ni guti sheru shiteru yo nangana jeli padu japaso shigunu stobi ninza napaso amagua ya venyo panina lunena chupayuzena shinizudie Pesia janigo patubino ranya nubichoshe nukinya nukie nubizane shambie nukagitu neze tirakala chukena lunena shindigune palinya nushinga nanake nibeza lunyate zaka Shindigune palinya nushinga nanake nibeza nyate zaka.
Dun 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 dun. Oh, what a beautiful voice. You heard that was Martha Toledo, and she's going to be one of the performers at the Oaxacan celebration that's going to be happening on July 9th that we're going to be talking about in just a few moments. For folks that are just joining us, you're listening to KBBF 89.1 Calistoga, Santa Rosa, and I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my two guests here in the studio, Evelina Molina and Crystal Rangel. Good evening. Excuse me. Good morning, ladies, and welcome to Women's Spaces.
Good morning.
Well, before we start, I'd like to tell our listeners just a little bit about you, if that's okay. The first thing is, let's talk about Evelina Molina. Evelina, I have to do a shout-out for her because, as you know, Ken and I, we were gone for 2 weeks and at Ryan and Amber's wedding, my grandson and my new granddaughter, and Evelina Molina actually helped me plan this show. So thank you so much, Evelina, for all your work and all the behind-the-scenes stuff you do. She's actually guilty of getting me on the air the second time. We're on the air now almost 6 years, Evelina. So thank you so much. Let me tell you a little bit about Evelina. Evelina is a local activist and community organizer for over a decade. Just to name a few of her causes, the Committee for Immigration Rights of Sonoma County, KBBF, Justice for Andy Coalition, and she's founder of the Alliance Club here in Santa Rosa in Spanish, which is really one of the first, I believe, Lions Spanish-speaking programs in the United States. And right now, she's very much involved with the recall for Sheriff Freitas here in Sonoma County, and also part of the coalition that we'll be talking to Nikki Pyle in our second interview. Also with me is another one of my favorite people. What I would consider one of not only my favorite people, but one of the most beautiful women I know, and that's Crystal Rangel, CEO and founder of Crystal Diamante Entertainment, which is an event and promotion agency. Crystal has played a critical role for over 20 years as an advisory board member, Latina outreach, and trainer for Julie Nation Academy. And I got to tell you, Julie Nation and I have been friends for years, and I've always been so impressed with some of the talk about helping young women with self-esteem definitely has filled in that gap. Crystal is also a single mother of two boys. And you know, Crystal, there's something else that I wanted to add here about you. And let me just get my notes here. Okay. Crystal is also a judge for El Festival de la Canción de California y Festegas. Now, this is my Spanish. I'm sure she can correct me and do it a little bit better. She is also a judge for, she's been a judge in pageants for over 10 years. And, I mean, that's a lot. That's a commitment. And I've watched her in action, and the pageants she runs are just a little bit different, the way she works with the young women and what she tries to impact in them. So welcome, ladies. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you, Lane.
Oh, I'm really happy to have you. Let's start with Evelina. Evelina, talk about the festival and how you get involved and why you believe. I mean, this is our sixth annual. I've gone to every single one of them. And why is it important in our community? And talk a little bit about it.
Well, I will talk about my personal experience and why I started working with Oaxaca and the Wine Country, and I've been a part of it since the beginning, is because when you are born in this country and you're separated from your roots, it's very hard as a Chicana, which I consider myself, to have that grounding. And when Felix Ortiz invited me to my first one, I felt so full of life, and I felt like the Mexico that I was missing was brought into my soul. And so I've been volunteering now for 6 years, and it's the thing that I look forward to every year more than anything.
Well, you know, we look forward to it. You know, one of the things that really impressed Ken is the dances they do. You know, they do this dance. I don't know what they call it, but they just keep dancing and dancing. And by the end of the dance, you realize, hey, there's nothing to worry about. It's just life is just good. I'm happy to be alive. And it's a very important festival. We'll talk a little bit about Martha Toledo. I know she's one of your favorites. And, you know, and listening to her voice and seeing her every year has just been amazing. Talk a little bit about her.
Well, Martha Toledo, this will be the third year that she is with us. She comes from Oaxaca, Mexico, specifically for this festival. And we're very excited because along with her beautiful voice and the original tradition cultures of Oaxaca culture, she brings a lot of stories about women empowerment, and she brings the traditional dresses and the clothes you wear, and she just adds, again, she adds Oaxaca to the Oaxaca in the Wine Country. So we're really blessed to have her the third year.
But also, one of the best news that I heard is that we're going to have it in the new refurbished Courthouse Square, which is going to make it even more popular this year. More people will have access to it.
Well, my understanding is that this will be the very first Latino-Mexicano event in the Courthouse Square, so we're really glad to be the trailblazers for hopefully many other Latino events in Santa Rosa downtown.
Well, you know, Evelina, I'm looking at a picture in front of me of last year's event, and there's Elaine with her funny shoes with all these beautiful young women dressed in these absolutely wonderful, wonderful costumes. You know, talk a little bit about that, and I know one of the things that you've done, and that's why we're going to bring Crystal in to talk about, is that you brought in Miss Latina and some of the contestants and some of the things that they do. What was your inspiration for that? Why is it so important? I mean, here are all these beautiful, beautiful traditional costumes. Why do you think that's important?
Well, Cristal has been very passionate about this event. This will be the third year, but last year was the first year that we actually had a fashion show, and part of it was because Cristal's Miss Latina Wine Country pageant is different from a beauty pageant because it really empowers the young women holistically, from self-esteem to career potential. Many of these young women are now successfully working, getting paid to do.
I know one of them. One of them, I believe, is studying to be a pilot.
Oh, yeah. And the other part is that she really empowers them with their culture. So each one of these young ladies is wearing a traditional wear from Mexico, Oaxaca, and they had to give a speech about where they were from in Mexico, what is what they like best, or what is a tradition from their part of Mexico, and then they also had a chance to practice before the big pageant in front of a big crowd. So it was a win-win.
So let's go back a little bit in time. Let's bring Crystal in. You know, Crystal, who's been very instrumental in doing this, and I know it was a struggle for you personally to actually have this pageant happen. I mean, it took a lot of what I would call persistence and self-esteem. Would you agree?
Yes, Elaine.
Yes, definitely. Well, tell us, talk before we go into the pageant, talk a little bit about your organization, the Crystal Diamante Entertainment. What is that all about, and how did you get involved with pageants and working with young women in this way?
Thank you, Elaine. Like everything is a challenge, you know. You have to have a really good self-esteem and work with a lot of things. Crystal Diamante Entertainment, I've been in radio for, I was in radio for 16 years.
Oh, good.
Actually.
How do you evaluate me?
Actually, KBBF, I was here for almost 10 years working at KBBF. So I got involved into communications first, and after that, I got involved in the modeling industry. So it's been something that in entertainment, I have created different events just for the radio station, for other organizations. And I decided to create Miss Latina Wine Country because it's working with the community for so long, with the Latino community. For me, it was like a challenge to have Latina women believe in themselves.
Well, you know, last year I was at the pageant, and I was, you know, I came in, I got to say, oh, okay, a beauty pageant. You know,
exactly.
I'm influenced by Miss America and all that stuff. You know, what is this going to do? And now we're incorporated into the Latina community. And I was so impressed. And what I was so impressed the most about is the different look of all the young women. There were some, you know, tall, slim ones. There were some short ones. All these different, and all of them coming out dressed so beautifully and so articulate. You know, and I know where they came from at the beginning. Most of them could not speak like this.
No.
So what do you think was your secret? What is your secret with working with young women to help them be able to do that?
I think the first, one of the secrets that it's like I said, it's a challenge, because most of these girls, when they come to me and decide to be part of Miss Latina, I have to work a lot with their self-esteem. And it's something that a lot of women, it has to do with the culture as well. And the way we were raised, that this is not something we will do because it's not good, it's not professional, or
not feminine.
Exactly. So when they come to me, you know, I train them for almost 2 months, and the first thing I work with them is kind of empowering, you know, them, and believe in yourselves, you know, believe in you. You can do anything you want. So it's a challenge, because most of these girls, they've been through rough times. I have some single moms being in the pageant as well. So I work really hard with that, you know, as empowering, you know, and having them have a good self-esteem in order for them to be on stage.
I know we had one of the women, Fabiola.
Fabiola,
I had her, and she was just, and here now she's studying to be a pilot, I believe, you know, working in air. I mean, that took a lot of courage for her to get up in the air, but I really believe a lot of that had to do, because I saw her transition from a very shy person to all of a sudden getting up there and just giving this beautiful speech. I mean, it was...
I do just want to say that we had a photo shoot for Miss Latina at a helicopter... two helicopters, one for emergency and the other one a helicopter company called Helico. And she fell in love with flying, and she discovered it through Miss Latina.
So, I mean, it's amazing. So what made you all of a sudden decide to bring the young women into the Oaxacan Festival? How is that helping with what your goals are and what their goals are?
The reason, Elaine, is because, like you mentioned, at first, a beauty pageant, it's not only about beauty. It's about culture. It's about, you know, believing, you know, getting involved with the community. And we decided to work with Oaxaca Wine Country because it's just so their culture is so deep, and it's not only about Oaxaca, it's about any other part of Mexico, because most of these girls are from different parts, you know, from Mexico. And empowering and get involved with the community, help the community. And since it's not like a beauty, this is beauty inside. It's more what I work with these girls. It's at first it was kind of hard for me because most of the community will say it's just a beauty pageant. It's about ego. It's about looking beautiful. It's about bodies. It's about face. So it was kind of hard for me to show them that I was creating something different in Sonoma County.
But, you know, there's another thing that comes into this, that, I mean, how I changed mm-hmm. my attitude. Here I am, I'm a 77-year-old woman, all right? It's very important for me to look good, you know?
Of course.
I mean, because you're presenting an image on the outside, you want people to see, but there's something about taking care of yourself, you know, learning how to be articulate, learning how to talk, that is very, very important. Not to discount it, but like I said at the beginning, I was just amazed at all the different types of women that I saw that actually, as they came across, at first I might have some sort of judgment, you know, like that's not, you know, that's what I'd not, that's not, doesn't belong in a pageant. Well, there's my Miss America influence, right? But then after you see them speaking, you see the confidence comes, it really changes. So I think that you're doing a very important thing for them.
And Elaine, there is probably no pageant, if not in California, in the country, that will take 2 months to work with their contestants. And also, Cristal's motto is, you're not competing with each other, you're competing with yourself, and you're competing with your insecurities. You're competing to win and overcome your fears.
Right. This is going to be the key to peace on earth, to not being afraid to speak out and present yourself and be who you are. Well, listen, we're kind of coming to the end of the segment. Crystal, how do people get a hold of you? And then I want to go back to Evelina. I want her to give us all the details when the festival's happening and how they can find out more about it. So how do they get a hold
of
you?
Yes, Elaine, I'm doing the castings at the moment because this year I'm including also Mr. Wine Country and Little Princess Grapevine. So, they can, if there's little girls from 5 to 12 that would like to be a Little Princess Grapevine, they can call me at 707-393-0502. And also for Mr. Wine Country, that's a new challenge this year as well. They can call me. The ages will be from 21 to 35 for male.
My goodness.
And for Miss Latina,
I gotta be there for Mr. Wine Country.
It's gonna be awesome. You know, it's. Let me just add a little bit, you know, about this. The reason I added Mr. Wine Country is because in our culture, it's like this is for women. It's not being self confidence. It's not only for women. It's also for men.
But also, if they join us, if we empower them, they'll join us, and we can use, you know, we're all part of this family of humanity.
Exactly. And for the girls, for Miss Latina, also for the casting, is from 21 to 29 years old. You have to be a single mother. You have to be single, and I'm also working with single mothers, because for me, I'm a single mom, and there's a lot of single mothers that they focus into helping their kids and forget about themselves. And that's one of the reasons I allowed in this pageant, because it's local. State-wise or international, it's more strict. They will not allow a single woman. You have to be single. But since this is something else, it's different. I'm empowering Latina women. I'm allowing them to be single moms and have that opportunity to be on stage.
But also, you're not afraid to have a vision and to bring it forward. And that's very important. So, I mean, that's an example. You know, when you have a vision, and it takes work.
A lot of work.
It takes tenacity, but it
dedication.
Takes, and belief.
Discipline.
In yourself.
Yes.
Okay, Evelina, give us the background. I mean, give us all the information, where it's going to be, the times. And by the way, folks, it's a FREE. That's free event.
Yes, the event is Sunday, July 9th. It starts from 11 in the morning to 5. It is a friendly, family-friendly festival for everybody. It is free. There is no cost. However, there will be artisan crafts and food for sale. And also, there will be dancers from Oaxaca, and Marta Toledo will be singing, and it starts from 11 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. So you can come and drop by anytime.
And also, it'll be posted on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. And Ken and I will definitely be there dancing. That's going to be happening on July 9th.
And if anybody doesn't know much about Oaxaca culture, you can go to our Facebook page. It's Oaxaca in the Wine Country. And there are so many videos about Oaxacan culture that if you look at them, you'll just get so excited and you'll want to learn more.
Why don't you spell Oaxaca for people?
O-A-X-A-C-A. It sounds like a W, but it's actually an O, Oaxaca.
Any last thoughts, Crystal? Anything you'd like to say or anything last thoughts, Evelina?
Well, I would like to invite everybody to be there because, I mean, there's a lot of cultural events. And bringing Oaxaca to the wine country, it's like I related to myself with Miss Latina. It's something, we brought it to the wine country. Like, my mission is to represent our wine industry, our Latino winemakers, our, you know, they own wineries. There's a lot of Latinos in the wine industry. So having Oaxaca in the wine country, it's like bringing a little piece of Oaxaca to
the
us.
The culture, like you said.
The culture.
Like you said, the culture.
You know, the community. Having all the community together. So, I mean, it's going to be a great event. I'm really happy, and thank you, Felix and Evelina, for inviting Miss Latina Wine Country. It's going to be also, we're going to be promoting that as Miss Latina Wine Country Facebook.
Well, you know, I want to add one last thing. The most important thing is when we learn about each other's cultures, we become more comfortable with
Correct.
One another. It's so important. And this is an opportunity when you see the beautiful dresses and you see you hear the great
the dances.
Music. You know, you begin to realize that we are a people. We are a human species, and we can come together with joy. So thank you, Evelina Molina, for being here. And thank you, Crystal Rangel, for doing such a great interview. And I see Evelina's got something burning. Go ahead.
I just want to say this event, even though it is a Mexican tradition and it's Oaxacan, it's for everybody.
Everybody. Right. You know, we're all related. I'm just watching the whole history of humanity. You know, we all come from Africa, from one mother, and for God's sake, let's start dancing together and singing together and having a good time. Maybe then we can have peace on earth. I mean, for God's sake. Anyway, what great guests. Thank you so much again, Crystal Rangel. And,
thank you, Lane.
CEO and founder of Crystal Diamante Entertainment, and one of my favorite activists, Evelina Molina. And we're going to take a musical break, and when I return, I will be talking with Nikki Pyle, one of the organizers of the Community Action Coalition. Now, the song I'm going to play is called A Change Is Going to Come, and it's going to be sung by a woman by the name of Lila James. And the reason that I picked this song is because there's a lot of us out there who are working very hard to make changes. And we have to remember that it's a challenge, and it's been going on since the beginning of civilization. And we just have to keep hanging in there, because today, here in 2017, we actually have not only the communication, but the ability to come together in a way that we have never had before. So let's go ahead, take our musical break. Here's A Change Is Going to Come by Lila James. And when we come back, hey, we're going to be talking to Nikki Pyle.
I was warned by the river in a little tent, and oh, just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know
is done. That change. Without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest, Nikki Pyle. Wonderful. It's wonderful to have a young woman. You know, I am so inspired when I see young women like yourself that have become activists and doing the things that you're doing. So I'd like to tell our listeners just a little bit about you, Nikki. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Before, you know, Nikki is an organizer with the Community Action Coalition, and she also worked with the Four Cs in Santa Rosa. She has a bachelor's degree in English and Spanish from Grinnell University and moved to Santa Rosa around 2 years ago, and that's where she found her activism, here, right here in Sonoma County. And I can understand that. I mean, there's a pretty exciting activism community here in Santa Rosa. She is deeply invested in working against white supremacy and the exploitation of marginalized groups, and she believes that Santa Rosa is a great place to begin that work. Anything else you'd like to add, Nikki, to what I've said about you?
Maybe just that I was an athlete in college and all throughout my childhood, so I very much so love being outdoors and running around and playing with animals or friends or whatever. So I'm an outside person. I think that's an important thing.
No, that really is important. You know, I just came from Laytonville. I mean, being outside and being in nature is just so, so important. We forget about that. Well, before we begin talking about the Community Action Coalition, which we are going to talk quite a bit about, I want to give us a little information on the Four Cs. You know, the Four Cs is a very important program in our community. Oftentimes, people don't even, you know, when you mention that you work for it, all of a sudden it came on the radar for me. You know, we should talk a little bit about Four Cs. They always need funding, and they do a lot of work in our community. So give us a little background on that program.
Yeah, absolutely. So Four Cs stands for Community Child Care Council, and I do some administration, marketing assistant work for them, as well as substitute preschool teaching. What's really great about 4Cs is that they offer quality child care and preschool for low-income parents or, you know, different families. Like, they're very much so integrated in their programs and the way that they implement their programs. And when I say integrated, I mean they are welcoming of all cultures, backgrounds, and whatnot. You know, in the classroom, it's really great to see the particularly Latino-dominated classrooms, the use of Spanish and English, and both are encouraged and used intermixed, and it's really an incorporated program and organization that they do a lot of really good work empowering parents and making sure that children get what they need for their first 5 years at least.
Well, you know, I love that program. You know, I remember when it first came on into the county. It's very important. And what's so beautiful about young children is they really know no boundaries. They don't have the barriers. They're taught the barriers. You know, children live what they learn. If we teach them love and compassion and we can all get along together, they're going to express love and compassion and get together. If you have hate and separation, well, you know, it's amazing. Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, do they have a website? Give the folks, do you know their website or how they can get a hold of you? Just because I know they're always looking for funding. Once you look it up, then we can say it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now let's go in talking about the Community Action Coalition and talk about them a little bit. What is their mission and what are they all about? And how did they start and how did you get involved?
Well, I think it's funny that you ask what is our mission, because we have, as a group, specifically stayed away from writing a mission statement because we want to be flexible and be able to constantly change our ideals and what we're working towards and how we're working towards it. So that's in that sense, there's a little bit about how the group works, is we like to move with the problems and be on top of it and be with what's pertinent.
So it sounds like your mission, you instead of saying a specific mission statement, as your project comes along, that becomes your mission, and that's what you become. Very, very interesting idea. You know,
yeah.
It's a little, of course, progressive. And people don't like that word, but I think that's a pretty progressive stand. So thank you for sharing it. So how did you get involved?
So
When I moved here in the summer of, 2015, I started going to this group that didn't have a name at the Santa Rosa JC, and that group had been started by a group of students who were galvanized around the fact that Eric Gailhouse was promoted by Sheriff Steve Freitas, and Eric Gailhouse is the man who shot Andy Lopez. So they were protesting that promotion and trying to really rally visibility around this persistent issue that hasn't been addressed. And so there were
Still hasn't been addressed.
Exactly. So there were protests at the Wednesday night markets, and it just, the same group of people kept coming back on, I forget what day it was, maybe it was a Thursday. We all just kept coming back Thursday at the same time to meet together. And then there was finally the discussion of, oh, I guess, you know, we need to make a name for ourselves so we can at least tell other people to come and join us too. So Enrique Arce was very instrumental in getting that group and continuing it through the summer. He was a JC student, and I believe he's now going to, University of Santa Cruz, I believe, but I may have quoted that incorrectly. Anyway, so we needed a place to stay, because the JC is kind of inaccessible for people who aren't students and whatnot, and we were community and JC students. So once we were able to move in and work with the Peace and Justice Center on Sebastopol Avenue, we were able to continue the austerity of our group and keep working together. And we slowly got a name, Community Action Coalition, and we slowly accumulated about 4 or 5 people who were really central and core to keeping the group going and moving with each new idea and planning around it. So that's kind of the moving history, if you will.
Well, I know that you're working on some special projects, but one of the things that when I asked you to send 5 questions, I thought was really interesting, that you were very focusing on anti-racism and some of the issues that are going on around that. Can you give us an idea of what you feel is important and how people can participate more where they can? You know, I'll give you an example of what I mean. I went to a bias class. You know, I walked in, and at the church, at Coffey's Church, down on, I can't remember, Sonoma Avenue, Community Baptist Church. And what happened was, is that we're going to talk about our biases. Well, when I walked in, I thought I had no bias. And it was real interesting because they did this meditation, and the first thing they said is, you know, imagine a Caucasian man walking down, and you pass each other, and what's your reaction? Well, I had no reaction. Then we all opened our eyes and we talked a few minutes, and he closed our eyes and he says, now imagine an African-American man walking, and I had a reaction and I was blown away. I said, oh my God, you know. And we talked about how we have these biases and this racism inside of us that we don't even recognize. I mean, that was a real wake-up call for me. I mean, I had to sit down and say, wait a minute, I know I'm judgmental, you know, to begin with, you know, but I really realized that there is some sort of charge in there. So what are you folks doing to help with that, to understand about the anti-racism and that it lives in all of us?
I guess the way CAC specifically is helping with that is the fact that we approach all of our actions in such a way that acknowledges that we are all guided by unbiased white supremacist thinking. And even though there are those of us that are more conscious or more aware of those biases within ourselves, we also know that it's still there. So we approach a problem trying to take all of that into account, as well as knowing we haven't, you know, we're going to have missed something. So if that's brought to our attention, we are very easy and willing to shift and move in order to make it as anti-racist or as anti-white supremacist as possible. You know, our actions are informed by that, you know, by that primary issue of race in a lot of ways.
But you said something so important that people need to recognize, that it's in all of us. I mean, on both sides. I mean, with the people of color against Caucasians and Caucasians against people of color. But unfortunately, there's the Caucasian race that, I mean, I get so pissed off when I see these white men deciding, you know, about my fate around abortion and birth control. I mean, mm-hmm. So there's so much of it going on that we're not even aware of our own biases. So it's so important, I think, what you're saying.
Right. But I also think it's important specifically for white people to acknowledge that whatever feelings of animosity people of color feel towards us, that's based in a history of oppression that white people seem to have conveniently forgotten. So there's this charge of, oh, you know, it's the angry person of color here or whatnot. And it's like, no, that anger is absolutely valid, and it's valid for so many reasons that you as a white person are willing to overlook for your own comfort. And we need to look at that. And I think that's something CAC really likes to pound into ourselves as well as what we're doing, is the fact that there are a lot of things we're not looking at because we're scared or embarrassed to as white people, and that's not okay.
Well, and the awareness, the awareness of it is so, so, so important. You know, I really thank you for sharing that. And I think it's a dialogue that we have to have. We have to continue to talk about it. I think we don't talk about it enough.
I completely agree.
You know, we need to, and admit it. You know, like I said, in that workshop, that was a huge awakening for me.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, wow. God, it lives in all of us. Well, let's get back to the coalition here. And what are some of the projects? I know you're working on three projects that I'm aware of. The first project, which I know is really close to your heart, and that's trying to do this recall for Sheriff Steve Freitas, which is, you know, now they got rumors that he's sick. And, I mean, there's all kinds of things. Who knows what's going on in this community? And then you're working with the project with the homeless on the tiny houses, which I think is important. And then one of my favorite programs, I remember when I first found out about it, was I'm so happy it's still happening, which is the Saturday morning coffee.
Yeah.
So why don't you take, we have about 6 minutes left. So let's start. Which is the most important one that you'd like to talk about?
I don't know who it's most important for, as like the group or myself, but I know personally, I'm really excited with the coalition we're building with Saturday Morning Coffee and helping them promote and put out the word about their campaign for Save Your Six, which is all about Title VI that a lot of people don't know about, and it's a really egregious problem that we have.
Well, just to give people a little history, I'm very familiar with the Saturday Morning Coffee. It was started by a family who I believe had some problems with their son in school.
Yes, and they had to remove him.
And they had to remove him, and they made all kinds of racist comments to them, and this was their way of coming to the community and letting them know that this is happening. So this is continued.
Yes, absolutely. So the founder of that, a woman of color whose son was being targeted at school, has really taken that experience and is making it accessible to everyone. And that's so, that has been Raquel Mack through Saturday Morning Coffee. And what they're working on is this campaign, Save Your Six, which is all about Title VI, which is the race and origin, like people, their origin equivalent to Title IX, which is all about sex and women's rights in sports and in schools. And so it's Title VI, there's no recourse for it right now. Nobody knows about it. Everybody knows about Title IX, but nobody knows about Title VI and the importance it is. Like, it's a legality thing. Discrimination, hate speech in school, that is an illegal act. Title VI is there to ensure that children receive a safe and healthy and caring environment when they go to school to learn. And so Title VI is there to implement that, and no one's doing it. No one knows about it. So this is something that personally near and dear to my heart that I want to keep working on, especially as, like, I plan on going into education as, you know, I get older. And I think this is going to be, you know, the next big thing that we have to look at as we go through what this administration is doing in the Department of Education, taking away those safeguards for children of color and the most vulnerable. So,
well, you know, another thing that they're taking away is, you know, like Native American studies and Hispanic studies. And I'll tell you something, when I went back to school, you know, I'm only a first generation American on my father's side. And when I found out what happened with the Native Americans, I was shocked.
Right.
Because you watch television, you see certain things, and then all of a sudden you come into the real world. And it's it's amazing. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment, and time just goes by so, so quickly. So give us Any important projects that are coming up? I know you're working on the recall. People are going after signatures.
Yeah.
Give us a little background and how your website and how people can get a hold of you.
Okay, so people can get a hold of us at CAC4Sonoma.com. That's our website. And we have a lot about our recall campaign up on that. We also, you can find us on Facebook, Action Coalition of Sonoma County, or we have a recall campaign page specifically for the recall campaign, which is Recall Sheriff Freitas. So if you look that up, you can find that as well on Facebook. We do have an email, which is also CAC4Sonoma@gmail.com. We have a couple of people who are admins of that and will respond pretty timely. But we all are working people, so, you know, give it a day or two. but those are the primary ways that we can get you can get a hold of us. As far as events that are coming up, we have been working with Tiny Houses for Humanity, and they have an event coming up, I believe it is July 9th at Gia's Garden. Yes, there we go. July 8th at 5 p.m., which is a benefit for that because they're looking to fundraise money to get purchase land for the Tiny Houses Village.
And that's going to be at Gia's Garden?
Yes, sorry, Gia's Garden. I've never been there. I apologize.
Gia's Garden is near the community market on Mendocino Avenue, and that's going to be July 8th, you said?
Yes, July 8th from 5 to 8:30.
And that's going to be for the fundraiser for the Tiny Houses?
Yes, their benefit dinner.
And that's the homeless. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Nikki Pyle, I want to thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces, and I'd like to invite you back again because I think there's a lot more that we have to talk to, especially on the bias and how we can overcome it and some of the things that people can look at. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Elaine. I really appreciate it.
And you did a great, great job. A special thank you to, excuse me, activist Nikki Pyle from the Community Action Coalition, and also to Crystal Rangel, CEO and founder of Crystal Dementi Entertainment, and, of course, activist Evelina Molina. Three great guests. My voice, I'm losing it. Three great guests who once again prove it is ordinary women who are doing extraordinary things. This is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Everything you do, because a woman in your life.